If you'll open up your Bibles with me this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. For the last couple of months, we've been in an in-depth study of the Sermon on the Mount, and it has been quite an extraordinary venture. And I guess if I could put a title on this morning's message, I would call it the number one sin in the world. Let me say that one more time. The number one sin in the world. Now, you remember Jesus has healed all the people in the Galilee area. Demons had been cast out, and the blind were seeing again, and they all came to him, and he sat down, and the disciples there in front of him, and all the multitudes, he started teaching them. It says in the first verse, it says, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. And then he goes through verses 3-9, which are the greatest words ever spoken on Christian conduct. And when you and I, by his grace, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, when we apply those verses to our life and walk in them, then guess what happens? We become what Jesus says there in the following verses. We become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's what God wants us to be. That's what he's called us to be. That's who you are. He says you are the only light. You are the only salt. You're the only preserving factor on this planet is his church, his body. And then in verses 17-20, Jesus startles the multitudes because he says to them as he's teaching, he says, now listen, I've come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Every dot, every tittle, the crossing of the T, the dotting of an I, even the little commas in the Bible. He says, I have come to fulfill every bit of that. And he said, secondly, the Pharisees and the rabbis and the scribes that are teaching you right now, those people are telling you things that are not right. And everything that they are teaching you is incorrect and is not in agreement with the old covenant. Thirdly, if your righteousness does not exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will in no wise enter the kingdom of God. Now, when Jesus said that, that would be verse 20. When Jesus said that, they fainted. I know that's not in Scripture, but I can promise you somebody fainted because when Jesus said, your righteousness must be more than the scribes and the Pharisees, they had a saying. They said that if any two people can make heaven, it would be a scribe or a Pharisee. But the problem that they didn't understand was that the scribes and the Pharisees, their righteousness was only a false external righteousness. Because they were teaching them to say, listen, it's okay to be angry. You know, as long as you don't commit murder, you know, don't commit murder. That's what they were saying. And that's right, don't commit murder. But Jesus said, listen, murder is more than just going out and doing a physical act. Murder is also when you're angry with your brother in your heart, meaning where you want to strangle the person. Jesus said, same as murder. They were teaching, do not commit adultery, but it was okay for them in their hearts to burn in lust and want to commit adultery. But as long as they didn't commit adultery, everything was all right. Jesus said, no, he who looks upon a woman to lust after her in his heart has already committed adultery with her. So when we start reading through the Sermon on the Mount, God has a plan for us. It should bring all of us this morning to our knees because we realize we're just as guilty as the scribes and the Pharisees. Amen? So we need a righteousness too. And guess what? If you're born from above, God has placed into your account the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen? Man, now that's a righteousness that never changed, never varies. And when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. You're saved and I am saved, not by the law. We can't earn it, but we're saved by grace. How? Through faith. And thank God we're saved this morning. So what we need to do is I enter in this text this morning as I begin to read to you. I want you to realize that we fulfill these things by grace, by his ability living in us. Amen? Through strength that comes from Christ. So let me read our text this morning and then I'll break each scripture down. Let's look at verse 33. Jesus says, again, you have heard it said of those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Now, before us in these scriptures, Jesus is just telling us right now the number one problem, the number one sin in the entire world. Let's start with verse 33. Jesus says again, you heard it said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely. In other words, you'll not perjure yourself Perjury is when you go before the courts, in a sense, and you swear that what you're saying is the truth, and yet you're swearing falsely. You've lied. So Jesus says, you've heard it said of those of old. Who are the old people he's talking about? He's talking about those of that generation, the scribes and the Pharisees and the rabbis, those that were teaching. He says, you've heard them say this, you shall not swear falsely or perjure yourself, but you shall perform, carry out, in other words, your oaths to the Lord. Now, here's the problem with verse 33. It's not found anywhere in the Bible, except right here. You go through and search out in the Old Testament, and you won't find that anywhere. Now, you'll find bits and pieces. So this right here is an accumulation of three or four scriptures from the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and they kind of put it together. Now, let me read the scriptures to you that they were using for this one verse. The first one is found in Numbers 30, verse 2. Let me read. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. The next scripture, Leviticus 19:12. And you shall not swear by my name falsely. In other words, God's name. Nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. And then the third commandment, Exodus 20, verse 3. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So they used these verses actually to compile verse 33. Now, Jesus then continued there and he said, but you shall perform or carry out your oaths to the Lord or perform them. What is an oath? Well, and the reference here Jesus is speaking of is an oath is when it gives assurance. The words that you speak give assurance to the other party that what you spoke is true. You take an oath to it. And what they would do, they would swear to the Lord. And if they didn't follow up with what they were saying, then they had profaned the name of the Lord, because it says in Leviticus 19:12, you shall not swear by my name falsely. So if they were saying, I swear by the Lord that I'm going to do such and such a thing, and then they break that, then they have profaned the name of the Lord. Now, Hebrews 6:16 says, for indeed men swear by the greater, meaning they swear to the Lord, and an oath of confirmation is for them an end of all the dispute. In other words, when a person swears by the name of God, what he's doing is he's adding greater credibility to what he is saying. And he's saying, God is my witness. God is looking in between what I'm saying between you and the other person, and God knows, and I've asked him to be a witness to what I'm saying. Now, when that happens, it says that in Hebrews 6:16, it says, for them it's an end of all dispute. Why would it be an end of all dispute after the oath was taken? Because the person knew that the person giving the oath in the name of God, God would come and judge him. In other words, have you ever been in a court of law, you lay your hand on the Bible, and they say, do you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? And you say, I do. And if you got up there and lied, you have just profaned the name of God. Well, how did I do that, Bill? I didn't take oath in the name of God. Yes, you did. You said, so help me God. In other words, when you ask God to help you, to do what? To tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And so here they were breaking their oaths. Now, let me ask you a question. See, you know, I really wanted to skip over this section and just move into the eye for the eye and tooth for the tooth, but the Lord wouldn't let me. But let me ask you a question. Why do you think the Lord allowed oaths anyway? I mean, when you start, see, it was in the law. God allowed the Jewish people to use His name when they gave an oath, but only in serious matters. Not some frivolous things. They were using oaths for everything, but just things that were really serious. But why did God allow this? I'll tell you why. Because God knows that man is sinful. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Psalm 116:11, it says, all men are liars. Ooh, this is going to be good this morning, isn't it? Aren't you glad you're here? It says, all men are liars. Now, listen to me. You've lied. I've lied. You mean, Bill, you're a pastor and you've told lies? I certainly have. I'm not in the habit of telling them now. I certainly don't want to tell any either. But you know what? There's not one person in this room that hasn't lied. You've lied, I've lied, everybody lies. Hey, come on. You know, you don't even have to teach your children to lie. Have you ever noticed that? They're good at it. I mean, it just happens. You know, you get them, you're in the house, and you come into the kitchen, you see the chair pushed against the cupboard, and then the cupboard doors are open and the cookie jar sitting down. All the cookie crumbs all over the counter, all over the floor, chocolate all over the little boy's face, you know, and up the nose, in the ears, on his hair, in his mouth. And you walk in, you say, "What are you doing eating those cookies?" "I'm not eating any cookies." Where did that come from? Well, it came from a fallen nature. It came because God says, you know, man is a liar. Man has been lying since Genesis chapter 3. Man has been lying. Think about that. Every man, every woman, every person that has ever been born and ever will be born is a liar. Why? That just one scripture ought to prove to every person in the world that God is true. Like it says in Romans 3, 4, God is true and let every man be a liar. God's word is perfect. It's true. Now, see, the reason I know that man didn't write the Bible, man would never put that in the Bible. Oh, no. They would never say, all men are liars. Oh, no, that would never happen. Never would happen. So they were only supposed to use oaths in serious matters, okay? And they would place themselves under an oath, and oaths could only be made in the Jewish culture, okay, only in the name of God. In the name of God. Deuteronomy 6:13 says, "You shall fear the Lord your God, serve him, and shall take oaths in his name." Now, if you took an oath in his name. Now, remember, listen, church, we're not sitting at the Sermon on the Mount. We're not in the habit of taking oaths all the time. So we have to go back to this historical setting, and we have to realize that they were sitting here, and if they took an oath, they understood the consequences. If they took an oath in the name of the Lord, you know what? I hear people, "I swear to God." I said, "Don't do that. I'm getting back. Here comes some lightning." You know, you have to be careful if you're around people like that. "I swear to the Lord. I swear on a stack of Bibles." Well, that doesn't mean anything to me. That doesn't prove anything. You swear on 100 Bibles. "I swear on my mama's grave." What does it matter? People swear all kinds of junk today. Now, but back then, man, when they said, "I swear to you, I give you an oath and I attach God's name, God's witness, he sees, he hears, he knows." The law said, if you're lying, if you swear falsely, not only do you profane the name of God, God's judgment will come upon you. Now, I don't have time to talk about God's judgment, but you want to read later. It'll be found in Deuteronomy 19, verse 6 and following. So, what was the problem then during the time of Jesus? The problem was this. The Jewish people, they were taking oaths for everything and anything. And here's what they did, though. They broke their oaths. In other words, nobody could trust anybody anymore because all of the oaths were being broken. Now, wait a minute, Bill. You just told me that if you take an oath, then there was going to be punishment. That's true. So what was wrong? Here's what was happening. The rabbis were teaching this. As long as you don't take an oath and attach the name of God to it, the oath that you take is not binding. It's not critical. You're not going to be punished for it. In other words, the rabbis were saying, make an oath, but just don't use God's name. And if you don't keep the oath, it's no big deal. What were they saying? They were saying it's okay for you to lie. That's exactly what they said. And they were saying this. They were saying that lying then was not a sin. Church, listen to me. They were saying lying was not a sin if I'm not attaching the name of God to the oath. There was a serious, serious problem. Now, the Bible says then, what did Jesus say? He's going to correct it in verse 34. Jesus said, wait a minute, hold on now. Now, I'm adding that. Is that all right? I don't want you to give me a letter and say, what Bible is that, Bill? No, I'm just adding that. But I say to you, Jesus says, what did he say to do? Do not swear at all, neither by heaven. Why? It's God's throne. Nor by the earth. Why? For it is his footstool. Nor by Jerusalem. Why? For it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. See, they knew the law. And they knew if they used God's name in an oath, I promise what I'm telling you is the truth, and I attach the name of Almighty God to it, my God whom I serve as my witness. They knew if they didn't attach God's name to it, well, then the oaths weren't binding because the rabbis, that's what they were teaching. In other words, they said, oh, it's okay to, oh, Lord, I swear right now to this person, I swear by heaven. Oh, there's nothing more glorious than the heavens that God has made. Or I swear by the earth, the incredible earth. Or better that, how about this one? Jerusalem, I give this oath to you and I promise that what I'm telling you is the truth. I swear by the city of Jerusalem. Is there any city greater or more holy than Jerusalem? Because that's where God has placed his name. So they were doing all of this. They were saying, I tell you what, I swear by my own head, my own family, my family's honor and my family's name. I swear on my mother's grave, in other words. Now, the problem was this, as it is today. All the things that those men at that time were swearing by, they all belonged to God. Oh, I swear by heaven. God says, don't do that because that's where I reside. That's my throne room. Well, I swear by the earth. Well, don't swear by the earth. God says, why? That's where I place my feet. God says, I swear by Jerusalem. That's where I've placed my name. God says, I own it all. And now that you've sworn by all of these, you're just as guilty by taking now my name in vain. Not only have you broken the third commandment, you've also broken the ninth commandment, thou shalt not swear falsely against my neighbor. You shall not lie, in other words. So you've broken the third commandment, you've broken the ninth commandment, and now you've profaned my name. You've taken, as it says, the third commandment, you've profaned the name of the Lord. You've taken the name of God in vain. Now listen to me. Here's where so many people, and even in some churches, they start teaching from these scriptures. And what they teach is this has to do with profanity. This has nothing to do with swearing like profanity, cussing. No, this has to do with profaning the name of God. Now listen to me. We think of when we taking the Lord's name in vain, we attach God's name with a cuss word. And we use Him to, we put His name, you follow me, and cuss with it. We don't. People do. That's not exactly what the third commandment is all about. The third commandment is when a person takes the name of the Lord God in vain is when he says, thus saith the Lord. There are many people on TV and in different churches right now. And they'll come up and they'll prophesy and they'll do it in God's name. And that prophecy is one of the biggest lies you'll ever hear in the world. I've heard so many false prophecies on TV and in other churches. It's enough. I could write a book. It's a dangerous thing to say, thus saith the Lord. Because what you do, if you do that, you attach God's name as a witness saying, what I have spoken, God has spoken through me. Man, that is a dangerous place to be. That's why there's so much false prophecy going out now. And here's what they say. Instead of using Scripture, in other words, where they say, I'm a false prophet, they say, oh, I just missed it. We know in part, we prophesy in part. That's not what that means. That isn't what that means at all. So you have to watch out there. Now, it says in verse 34, but I say to you in verse 34, look what Jesus said to do. He says, do not swear at all. What does he mean? He's saying, I want everyone to be a man or a woman of their own word. What you say, I want you to mean it. In other words, a half-truth is a whole lie. Amen? Now listen, the Pharisees, like I just told you, they were just saying, well, it's not a sin to lie as long as you don't put God's name in it. No, that's wrong. That's like us saying, you know, we say something and we cross our fingers and put our fingers behind our back. You know, that's a lie. A lie is a lie. Look what Jesus said to do in verse 37. Jesus said, but let your yes be yes, your no, no, for whatever is more than these. Okay, more than what? Jesus said, whatever is more than these. More than your yes or more than your no. What does that mean? It means any form of speech that seeks out to strengthen your yes or any form of speech that seeks out to strengthen your no, look what it says, comes from what? It says the evil one. So Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. In other words, just because somebody is swearing doesn't make a statement true. You know that and I know that. You know what Shakespeare said? Shakespeare said, Lord, Lord, how this world is given to lying. That's probably the only truth Shakespeare ever quoted. Listen to what Mark Twain said. I like his even better. Mark Twain said, none of us could live with a habitual truth teller, but thank goodness none of us has to. Isn't that a true word? Come on, you know it's true, and I do too. But here's what I want you to see this morning, if you will allow me to make application to the greatest sin in the world, if you don't mind, the greatest problem in the world, and that's of lying. In other words, bearing false witness. We live in a world that is absolutely bathed in total lies. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for it. Number one, the Bible says in 1 John 5:19, it says, for this we know that we're of God. But the whole world, did you catch that? Not part of the world, not let's exclude America. No, the whole world lies in the sway or in the arms or in the cradle of the wicked one. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says he is the God of this age. Jesus called him the prince of this world. Listen, He was a liar from the beginning. He works in the world systems to create havoc and lies today. He's spreading his lies just as fast as he can in every and each generation. You know what he loves to do? He loves to come in and spread lies into your life, into your marriages, into your children's minds. Satan loves for you to turn on the TV set, and there's nothing wrong with turning on the TV set, but he loves you to turn it on and watch junk that's going to fill your mind with lies. Why? Because he is a liar. He is the father of all lies. And we live in a world right now where we have to question everything that everyone says to us. Are you sure? You're going to be here tomorrow to fix my washing machine? Yes, I will. I'll be there. I promise. Now, don't get mad if you fix washing machines. You understand? And you come in, yes, I'm going to be there. Well, you sit there, so you take off work, you know, you get there at 11 o'clock, and so I'll be there at 11 o'clock into your home, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Well, you know, never a call. You call, oh, well, I got tied up. People are, their word is broken. It's like, who cares? Words don't mean anything to anyone anymore. I mean, we had a president who went on worldwide TV and said, I tell you, I did not, you know the rest of it, with Monica Lewinsky. Come on, church, I'm not being critical of that man. I'm not speaking evil of him or his office. But I'm saying we live in a world where if you don't know the truth, how are you going to be set free? And if you don't know the truth, how are you not going to know what's being taught to you, if it's a truth or a lie? Don't you take my word for it. You better get in the Bible and know what it says. You better check me out. Amen? Amen. Check out, make sure what I'm preaching is true. Then if it's not true, come and talk to me. Say, Bill, you missed it. I say, thank God. Oh, thank you. Help me. Show me. I don't want to ever teach something that's not right. So we live in a world that is consumed with lying. In matter of fact, it's a normal part of life. People do it every day. The church does it all the time. Listen to what John MacArthur says. He says, our whole world is largely built on a network of fabrication, of manufactured truth. I love that. Manufactured truth. Listen to what he says. We shade the truth. We cheat. We exaggerate. We misrepresent income tax deductions. We make promises we have no intention of keeping. We make up excuses and betray confidences, all as a matter of normal, everyday living. Isn't that the honest truth? Where it's just people, even in the church, it's just, I lie. It's amazing. Some people have lied so much that they believe now the lie that they're telling is true. I forget which man it was that worked for Hitler, Goebbels, I think. He said, if you tell a lie long enough and keep it big enough and keep it going, the people will finally believe it. And in fact, they did. It's amazing the lies that traffic through our society. And, you know, the thing that we have to be so careful about people swearing falsely, about people saying, I promise this, is it's more than just what we do in the secular world when you go to buy an automobile or you buy this or a home. You have to have all these documents or you go before the court of law. It's just not in the world that you have to worry about lies. It's in the church of Jesus Christ. It's in a church where they have where people gather just like you are this morning. And there are men right now in our city, and they are preaching lies. There are people in our city this morning that are behind the pulpits that deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. There are pastors in our community right now who deny the inerrancy of Scripture. There are people that are behind the pulpits in our country and in our cities this morning. And they deny the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, my Bible says if we do not believe in that, we have no hope. We're still in our sins. But He did rise from the dead. And He did rise on the third day, just like He said, according to the Scriptures. He did ascend. He is seated at the right hand of God. He ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. And one day He's coming back for the church. Amen? We can count on it. We know because the Word of God tells us. Amen? But we have people in our community and around the world. So what does that tell you? It tells you the sad state of the church that you must even question what's being taught to you. That's why Peter wrote in 2 Peter 2:1, he said this, but there were also false prophets among the people. Now that meaning Israel, even as there will be false teachers among you, meaning the church, here's what they're going to do. Now listen up, who will secretly, did you catch that word? Secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. False teachers work secretly. They know what they're doing. They're a false teacher. Now listen, they don't come up to you and say, "Hey, good morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel this morning. We're so glad to have you. I'm here to destroy your entire life. I want you to know that I'm about to spread the most vicious lie I can. I hope it destroys you and your family and your children. Matter of fact, not only am I in agreement with the evil one, he's here too. He's here. He's wanting to seek you out and devour you as a roaring lion. He is Apollyon. He is the destroyer." See, they come along secretly. And that, well, you know what they do? They bring in destructive heresies. And that word secretly is a very important word. Because these false teachers of our day, they come in wearing sheep's clothing, but they are ravenous wolves inside. And they come about and they lay out the King James Bible in one hand, and then they start preaching the perfect truth of God. And slowly and secretly and quietly, they bring in another text and they start introducing a lie alongside of the truth. And then after so much teaching, then what happens is the lie then takes over and the truth is put down. They suppress the truth, as it says in Romans 1, with all unrighteousness. They suppress the truth. They hold that truth back. Why? Because lies are meant to destroy people. God says, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. For what much more comes of this is from the evil one. So they come in and lay all these destructive heresies, and that's what's happening right now in our world. Listen to me. It comes a time in our life, church, when we must be a Berean. We're living in a world where lies are just being spread left and right. It's the number one problem, the number one sin in the world is that of lying. And we have to know the enemy that we're fighting. Now, Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no, for what more comes of this is from the evil one. You remember in Genesis chapter 3? Listen to me. What was the first sin? The first sin committed in the garden was that of lying by the serpent, the devil. And then in Acts chapter 5 was the first sin judged in the New Testament church. What was it? Ananias and Sapphira. What for? For lying. Did you know that today, let me tell you what's going to happen to you today. Today, you are going to be lied to over 200 times. Think about that. Today, you're going to hear a minimum of 200 lies, whether by TV, the radio, the newspaper, a magazine, National Enquirer or something, or from one another, from people, maybe even yourself. We're our own worst enemy, believing lies. That's because Satan attacks the mind. 200 lies a day. It says here, according to this survey, human beings who, according to the psychologist Gerald Jellison of the USC, are lied to 200 times a day. Now, that's roughly one untruth every 5 minutes. Can you believe that? One lie every 5 minutes, every day of your life. That's why the psalmist is so true in Psalm 58:3 when he says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. Well, this is what they say. They go astray as soon as they're born. And how do they go astray? It says, speaking lies. One survey that I read this week said this, that college students lie in 50% of their conversations with their mothers. And I was thinking, I wonder how much they lie to their fathers. It says 10 million people lie to the Internal Revenue each year. 80% of us lie on our resumes. 70% of all doctors lie to insurance companies. And 100%, listen to this, 100% of dating couples. Is anyone in here dating? Get ready for this. This is for you. 100% of dating couples surveyed lied to each other in about one-third of their conversations. You're awful pretty today. Oh, you're very pretty today. I'm really in love with... Oh, I'm more in love with you. Colossians 3:9 says, do not lie to one another. Jesus said, let your yes be yes, your no be no. That's it. Yes, no. He said, do not lie one to another. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 6:16, it tells us that God hates lying. It's one of the seven things that God hates. It's an abomination to Him. Let me ask you a question. Why would God put down a lying tongue as something He loathes and despises and hates? Because it was a lie that plunged mankind into hell. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3, when Satan came into the garden as a serpent, and he came in and God had commanded Adam and Eve, saying, listen, of the tree of the good and evil, you can eat, in other words, you can eat of all the trees in the garden, but the one that's the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. In the day that you eat of it, ye shall die. Then that's in chapter 2. Then you go over to chapter 3, and what happens? Satan slithers up a tree, evidently, hangs out there as a serpent, waiting for Eve to come along, ask Eve a question. Say, hey, Eve, what are you doing? Now, you know that's not in the Bible, too. I'm putting that in. What's God said about this tree, Eve? Oh, we're not to touch it. Look, no, no, nothing. If we do, we'll die. Oh, Eve, come on. Don't be so naive. Don't be so narrow. God has so much for you. How do you know God's not holding something back? Eat it. For the day that you eat it, Eve, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God. Eve could have asked herself a question. She could have said, hey, what's wrong with being like God? There's nothing wrong with being like God. I want to be like God. I love God. Yeah. See, Satan comes in with a lie, and listen to what lies do. Lies always promise an advantage. Do you hear me? See, when Satan lies to you, he always promises you, this will help you. This is an advantage for you. Yes, this will make you feel good. See, sin has pleasure, the Bible says, but sin has pleasure only for a season. And then after the season, it comes in to destroy you. The wages of sin, see, is death. Sin destroys, it cripples, it ruins. And lies come in, and Satan lied to her. And you know the problem. It separated Adam and Eve from God. They didn't die physically. They died spiritually. That's why you have to be born again. See, that's why people today, they're from Adam, those that are still not saved. And they open up, well, I'm going to read the Bible, and I'll figure out if there's a God or not. No, you won't. The natural man can't discern the things of God. It's impossible. You have to be filled with the Spirit of God. You have to say, Jesus, come into my heart. Change me. Now, there's a truth for you. That's an eternal truth that'll never die. Satan says, oh, you don't need God. You are a God. That's what's going on in churches today. Do you not know? You're gods. Yeah, just speak. Just speak the word and it'll be done. Well, go out there and speak, let there be light, would you? Command the sun to stand still for you, would you? Tell the waves to stop. Stop it. Craziness that's happening. The lies that are going through this planet right now. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:25, it says, therefore, put away lying. Let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Now, why? Listen up. For we are members one of another. In other words, what Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus, say, don't lie to one another because we're all the one body of Christ. Let me ask you a question. What if my body started lying to me? In other words, you're the body right now. You're the temple being built up for the Holy Spirit of God. Now, think of the church as a body and Jesus is the head. And that's exactly the illustration that Paul is giving. But what if my eyes said, you know what? Let's play a trick on Bill today. Let's just do what we want to do. Let's lie to Bill. So here I am out on the freeway in my 1965 Corvette. And the speed limit that says instead of 70, it says 150. And why? Because my eyes lied to me. So I say, whoa, man, 150. And I just, and then when I'm going 150 miles an hour, my eyes lie to me again because there's an 18-wheeler coming straight at me. But my eyes say, no, it's not really happening. It would kill me. See, that's the same thing that happens with the body of Christ. When we lie to one another, we start destroying one another. Why? Because a lie always has a purpose and a destination. And that's what Jesus is saying. He said, don't swear at all, man. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's what God wants us to do. And we can do it not by our own strength, but by Him living in us, giving us that grace and that power that we can do that way. So the problem with lies is that it always leads someplace. Listen, there are people right now, good, hardworking people in our city. They raise their children. They love their children. They're good to their children. They vote. They keep their yards mowed and their houses painted and their cars washed. And they go down and vote every time. And they go to the city council. They do all the things they're supposed to do. They make sure their kids do their homework and they take care of them. And they're sitting in churches right now. Good, hardworking people. And yet they don't know Jesus Christ. They're sitting in churches, some of them right now today. Do you know why? They were baptized as a little baby. And that church gave them a parchment of paper and said, you were baptized on such and such a day. And since you were baptized, you have now been granted eternal life. That is not true. That is a lie. But to them, that piece of paper says, oh, I'm a Christian. Yet they have never once been taught that they must receive Christ Jesus. You must be born again, as Jesus said, or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's impossible. But that lie is rampant today. Here's another lie that has a destination, that has a purpose. Just come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. All your problems will be over. Just come and then you can live any way you want to. Hello? No, that is a lie. When you come to Jesus, He changes you and you live the way He wants you to live. And then if you get in trouble, you fall on His grace and the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. That's the good news, the wonderful news. And that you're a new creation in Christ. Behold, old things have passed away. All things have now become new in your life. So today, you need to understand that lies are rampant. You need to know what you believe, why you believe it. You need to know the Word of God. You need to know what God's Word says so you can live thereby. It's amazing the lies that cause so much pain. You see friends that are forever separated because of a lie. You see husbands that are jealous because their wives come in and lie and tell them things that are not true just to promote jealousy. See, a lie has a destination. A lie has a purpose. It also destroys confidence between nations. This morning as I checked my email, and Ronnie Simone from Israel, I don't know if you receive his dispatches or not, but I always read what he has to say. And he's living there. Of course, he's a Jew, lives in Jerusalem. And he wrote, and I was amazed at what lies are doing right now over the world. Just let me read some of the lies that are trafficking in the world right now. Here's what he said. He said 59% of the Europeans in the EU, that's the European Union, okay, they believe that Israel is the main danger to world peace. Not North Korea, not Iran, but Israel. 17% of the Italians think it would be better if Israel did not exist. And one of the most famous Greek composers, and I'll not pronounce his name, but he was the one who wrote Zorba the Greek. Here's what he said, that Jews are the source of evil in the world. A German parliament member said that since Jews were involved in the atrocities of the Bolsheviks, the Jews have a murderous nature. Now listen to one more. The premier of Malaysia, Mahathir Mohamad, said a few weeks ago that it doesn't make sense that 6 million Jews will overcome 1.3 billion Muslims around the world. The Muslims should gather together to destroy the Jews, and also the Jews always send other people in to die for them. Ronnie writes, all of these lies happened last month. It's amazing, the hatred that's caused by lies. Why do you think the Jews are so persecuted? I've preached on that many times. It's because they're God's timepiece. It's because that's who we're watching. That's because we know that since Israel has come back into 1948, May 14th, they've become that nation. Just like God said, they came back in. Jesus said, when you see these things about to happen, lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. He may come today for us. The whole world is starting to hate Israel, just like God said it was going to do. And it says in the last days that Israel will be surrounded by those enemies. It's amazing the things that are happening right before our eyes. And lies come in to deceive and cause so much pain. Now listen to me. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2:9, it says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. Who is the lawless one? He's the Antichrist. Now, I just mentioned the European Union. The Bible teaches in Revelation 13:1 that the Antichrist will come out of the Gentile nations of the Holy Roman Empire. In other words, the revised Holy Roman Empire. Daniel chapter 2 tells us that there will be one superpower reigning and ruling before the return of the kingdom of God. That's Daniel chapter 2. In other words, it starts with Nebuchadnezzar, remember, goes down to the Greeks and the Medo-Persians, and then the Greeks, then the Romans, and then the 10 toes of clay, you remember, and iron, that mixture. That's the 10 nations. Now, that is the European, has to be the United States of Europe that's already formed, who is seeking, as I speak, for one president now to rule all of the people who are involved in the EU. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:9, the coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, the liar of liars, is according to the working of Satan. How does he come? With all power, signs, and lying wonders. With all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now watch this, church. Lying is the number one problem in the world, the number one sin. Today in the church, signs and wonders, are they for the church today? Absolutely. But Christians are not to follow signs and wonders. Signs and wonders follow the Christian. Yet what has the church done in the last 20 years? They have flocked to signs and wonders. Why? I'll tell you why. Because it is a setup for the end time. And every generation, Satan is smooth. He has time. He knows what he's doing. He interweaves. Don't ever think that he doesn't send his emissaries into the church. They appear as angels of light. They transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, and they're not. Signs and wonders, yes, absolutely. But there is coming those lying signs and wonders, lying signs. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you what it means to me and what I believe that Scripture is teaching. No, let me just put it to you. I know what it means. It means if it's not in the Bible, you better run from it. In other words, listen, I love experiencing God. Boy, listen, the Lord could come in here right now and lay us all out. It wouldn't bother me. It wouldn't bother me at all. Now, Bill, is that okay to do? Well, he did that many times. But what God didn't do is say, okay, let's line up here, get 50 or 60 people lined up, and I'm going to touch you and you're going to fall over, and then somebody come up and put a little blue thing over your legs. Oh, no, if you're Pentecostal, you just got upset. I am a Pentecostal. I probably preached in more charismatic churches than you've ever been in. Thank you. What are you saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying if it's not in God's Word, I don't want it. And I'm not going to make a doctrine out of something. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit fell during Jonathan Edwards' days. Man, he preached a sinner in the hands of the angry God. They would tremble in their seat. They fell on the floor. Matter of fact, they would crawl under the pew. I'd like to see that today. I'd like to be the first one under the pew. I'd like to be the first one that's shaking and trembling and say, God, purify my heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God. I'd like to be the first one. But we are in the midst of lies right now, and the church is asleep. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And what comes more of this is from the evil one. It says lying wonders in 2 Thessalonians 2:9. And listen to what else it says. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Why are they going to perish? Are you ready? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's it. So many Christians today, they know about their Bibles, but they don't know their Bibles. See, when it's the love of the truth, it's this truth right here. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's what you need to know. That's what I need to know, is what God says. Because if you think that the last lying signs and wonders are over, I'm going to tell you something. They're going to escalate like never before. Because that's what's going to happen in the last days with those lying signs and wonders. Listen to me, church. If you're offended in what I'm about to say, you can be offended. That doesn't mean I don't love you, what I'm about to say. But when I hear of people and see people in the church barking like dogs and roaring like lions and slithering like snakes, I ask myself, has the church gone completely mad? That's not God. And it's not in God's Word. Yeah, but then they say, oh, but Bill, I've talked with pastors. I talk with pastors from every type of movement. They're friends of mine. And they go, oh, Bill, you know, you're missing it. I say, what am I missing? Well, man, we were roaring like lions, you know. Well, praise God. I'm going to meet you in the zoo. You know? Listen to me. Yeah, but Bill, you don't understand. I mean, I was touched. I said, I know you're touched. I mean, I'm touched. I mean, I felt God. I mean, there was hot oil and hot honey. It was like, oh, it was dripping all over me. And I felt so close to God. I was so holy. I said, okay, show me that in the Bible and I'll get it right now. Well, it's not in there, you know, but God does all these strange things. I said, does he? I said, why did he give me the word for? It says, let everything be done decently and in order in the church. It didn't say it's going to be wild and crazy. There's nothing wrong with wild and crazy as long as it's decently done in order and it's according to God's Word. Somebody wants to say, well, Bill, here, wait a minute. Here's a handkerchief now. I've prayed for it. And we'll send it out to people. They do that on TV, you know. Well, I don't have a problem with that. Paul did that. Peter's shadow. A little bit of healing went on with Peter's shadow. Okay, I can handle that. But if you'll notice in that scripture that I told you about Paul, I think it's Acts chapter 19, it says all these miracles were done by God, not by the hands of Paul. Do you see what I'm saying? So we have to discern what is a truth and what's a lie. Why? Because a lie has a destination. See, there are people, right? Listen, you are receiving lies right now. Some of you are sitting here saying, God doesn't love me. That's a lie. It is a lie, and it's affecting your walk, and it's affecting your love for God because you're going, I'm not worthy. No, none of us are worthy, but thank God Jesus saved us. And so you need to take God's word and take it to heart and say, I know what I used to be, but I'm no longer that anymore. It says, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Oh, now listen to me. Let's balance that scripture out. Strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Why? Okay, here's why they will believe the lie. Because they did not love the truth. Do you understand? So if you're not loving the truth, you can believe the lie. That's so important today for us to know what we believe in and know what God's Word says. St. Augustine said it this way. He said, we are ensnared by the wisdom of the serpent, but we are set free by the foolishness of God. I love that. Oh, the foolishness of God. What is that? It is the cross and preaching. Preaching. Isn't it funny that God says it's the foolishness of preaching? And I have to agree. Here I am talking to you guys. And guess what? I talk. He's chosen me to do these kind of things. After, oh, I don't know why. And you know what? People get saved. Listen to me. What lie are you believing this morning that is stopping your destination? You see, because a lie has a purpose. See, the purpose of a lie is to deceive you. Now, I'm going to be very bold. It's gotten into the church now that where people believe they can live together without the benefit of a covenant of marriage with God. That's sin. It will always be sin, no matter how much you justify it. Someone say amen. Thank you. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not beating on anybody. I'm telling you the truth. Because, see, the truth will set you free. You don't want to be ensnared by the devil. You don't want to sin against God. The Bible says this in 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. God loves you. I love you.